Dr. Dre said, hell yeah, and I got a stamp like a postcard, word to mailman. And I know they're gonna hate, but I don't care. I barely can wait to hit him with the snare and the bass square in the face. This fucking world better prepare to get laced, because they're gonna taste my venom. I got that adrenaline in them, not going with them. Never gonna slow up in them, ready to snap any momentum. Thinking it's time to go get them. They ain't gonna know what hit them.
Welcome back to Do They Deserve Love Podcast. It has been so long. We are glad to have you back. Once again, my name is Alan Shane Lewis, one half of the Do They Deserve Love podcast. I'm joined with...
I'm Sarah Galley, the other half of the Do They Deserve Love podcast.
And it's been, I looked on the thing, I think it's been a year. I think it's been a full year. Just like Halloween or Christmas, we come yearly bringing you those treats and sweets. How's everything with you?
I am a ball of emotions. I am nothing. I'm very sensitive. If I make eye contact with someone, I expect a hug to survive the moment of vulnerability. I don't know how to be in the world anymore.
Yeah. I am on a tear of, I can sort of recognize you. You must be someone that I know. And then I go in for like a greeting and I'm like, oh no, this is not the person that I thought this was. I have done that at least 4 times. I'm looking for friends. I should not be doing that. She'd be like, eh, I know you. And it's like, no, I don't. I've been cooped up in a house for a whole year. I don't know anybody anymore.
Yeah.
But you know what would fix us? If we both got a symbiote and a symbiote entered our body and fixed our problem. See that transition? Do you see that transition?
Beautiful transition.
Because today, the movie that we are talking about and asking the question, do they deserve love? By the way, this is the podcast where we watch rom-coms together. And then at the end of it, we ask, do they deserve love? And we always like to add that caveat that everyone deserves love. But we're asking if the love in the movie that they fought for and acted for is worthy at the end. And how much do we actually push for and root for? But yes. So the movie,
we're being a little shady. We can ask, does this piece of shit deserve love?
Yeah. And today the movie is Venom. We decided to watch Venom. Potentially might do Venom 2. And have a good friend of the pod, Rodrigo Fernandez-Stahl, come on there and talk about his love for Venom, because he's a super fan. If you don't know him, check him out. Please do that. But we watch Venom. 2018 classic, if you could say that. Sure. What were your opinions before going into this movie? Is this the first time you've watched this movie? I should ask you that.
This is the first time I watched this movie. I'm not a Marvel fan. I know this is not a Marvel movie, but I'm not really like a comic book movie fan. But I went into it with an open mind. Oh, wow. You know what I mean? I went in wondering, where's the love? Where's
the the question that Black IPs and us, we all are asking that question.
And, there's some love in there.
There is some love. It does exist. So we'll definitely tackle that question later on. But for those who don't know, Venom is a 2018 movie. And yes, to Sarah's point, it is not necessarily a Marvel movie. It's with an association with Marvel. They always have to put that caveat in there because, the weird licensing deal between Marvel and the Venom character in Spider-Man's role galleries. But this movie came out in 2018. It was directed by Ruben Fleischer, who also directed such films as Zombieland, Double Tap, didn't finish. Gangster Squad, I saw in theaters, fell asleep. 30 minutes or less, wasn't that great. Zombieland, I enjoyed. And the new Uncharted movie. So he has a theme of movies he does. And it was written by Jeffy Pinkner and Scott Rosenberg, who have combined to put together some, subpar movies. Amazing Spider-Man 2, which, ooh, have you seen that? That's just a commercial for the next movie. Fifth Wave, Dark Tower. So it's a Sony movie. At the end of the day, it is a Sony movie. It is going to do box office numbers. Because here's the thing. This movie came in with about $116 million box office. Or not box office, sorry. How much the movie... you produce a movie and you give that much... Yeah, no, that's how much the movie was cost to make. But you know how much it made? Guess how much it made.
How much did it make?
Yeah, guess. I want to see...
Wait, so it cost $162 million?
$116 million to make. How much do you think it made?
Millions
at the box office.
It made 89.
89 million.
Yeah.
It made $856 million at the box office. This movie.
Yeah. I clearly I don't understand business.
It's so wild to me that this movie could do that. That just goes to show you that it's just return on investment on a lot of these movies. It's just like, listen, we're going to pump out some crap for $100 million, bad CGI, and it is going to make us money. And the fact that it has 30% of Rotten Tomatoes means nothing. It means it's not going to stop us from making money. Making money is a successful thing.
It's Coca-Cola. You don't say
it's
no.
It's Coca-Cola. Sweet, delicious Coca-Cola. For those listening and not seeing the video, I just drank from a Coca-Cola. I'll give a brief synopsis before we get into it. Journalist Eddie Brock is trying to take down Carlton Drake, the notorious and brilliant founder of the Life Foundation. While investigating one of Drake's experiments, Eddie's body merges with the alien Venom, leaving him with superhuman strength and power. Twisted, dark, and fueled by rage, Venom tries to control the new and dangerous abilities that Eddie finds so intoxicating. Like, that sounds like a good movie. That sounds interesting. I don't think we got that. I don't know. Tell me, yeah. What were your experience with this movie? How did you find it?
You know what? It's very like Tyler Durden remake Fight Club.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Maybe if I'm 19, this might have been like felt very deep.
Perhaps. True. Yeah. It's definitely. Yeah. I definitely think
I was looking for love. I came in with specific eyes that were like, where's the love?
It was interesting to see the Venom's kind of, well, we'll go into that in character, but like, yeah, I definitely think this movie was aimed at the new class of Tyler Durden for people who didn't read the book and barely watched the movie. Like this is like for those 19-year-old kids who heard about that tape of Fight Club and wanted that kind of, you know, oh, what's going on, you know, type of thing. But yeah, this is a very interesting movie. I just want to talk about, like, off the top, I think it was very weird when the Venom symbiote first comes to Earth, it comes and crashes in Malaysia, but not just any part of Malaysia, East Malaysia, which I thought was a funny, like, why? It's like it's something like just had like landed in Canada, like East Canada. It's like you could just put the city or maybe the province. Like this movie is like, no, you will never know where this place is in Malaysia. Like you could just say that, but that was interesting.
Is that where the plane crashed?
When the Life Foundation big like space jet came crashing down.
I meant like the Malaysian airline thing.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. When was that? Was that the same time?
Around the same time, I feel like, or maybe even a little before that. I feel like.
Honestly, I don't know what time anymore. I've lost. I've lost all time. So I was like, was it yesterday?
For over years.
Yeah. Was it 40 years ago? I don't know. Who am I? But I don't know. I think I may have mentioned it earlier in previous pods, but I always think of that joke that Mark Little has, like movies versus films, and like, you know, a movie just like hands you the exposition and tells you things that are going through and it pushes you along the plot, and a film doesn't necessarily kind of guide you like that. This feels like a movie. Watch it in 3D. Bring the kids popcorn kind of thing. Cause I don't know. I wanted to write the comms down, but all the comms that I found were things that I don't think were supposed to be funny. That I was like, that's like, yeah, that Malaysia part there. I think it was funny when the symbiote, you know, after it transfers from body to body, cause that's like what it does. It can't exist on oxygen rich atmosphere without a host, which is a terrible plan to take over the Earth. You got to like quickly hop on and latch onto these things, but it kills the paramedics and then it kills the driver and then it gets out of the car and then walks and it just walks for the whole movie. And we cut back to checking in on how long its walk is going.
Yeah.
It takes over like an old lady. It takes over a child. Like it's such an issue. I don't know. Did you enjoy that kind of that side plot of the movie?
Yes. And I would say, again, just going back to the lens of love, it made it very hard for me to root for the symbiote.
I did
at the end.
Just like, all right, I put through all that stuff. It needs something. That's all it needs, probably, you know, just someone to love it back. And that's, you know, kind of what changed his tune at the end from taking over humanity. I also thought it was funny that whoever wrote this movie, I don't think's ever met a reporter, because that whole like Eddie Brock stuff, I was like, I don't know what this is. I've never seen this exist in the wild. Like he has a channel, but he also does interviews and he's got his little his little notepad that he had there at all times, and he's just like reading from it and like really tackling those issues. And
he's like paying off a debt with his boss. I don't know how that works. It's like, so weird. What's this relationship?
I didn't get that. And it was so weird. That guy just shows up in two scenes and then he's just like gone for the rest of the movie. Right. He feels like he's supposed to be more important than he is.
Yeah.
And also I found like the Life Foundation, whatever that I found like is so vague. Like that's clearly like a place mark for like Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk, because it was just like they're everything, but nothing really.
And we're scared
like,
of billionaires. We're scared of billionaires, and yet we keep making them by going to these movies.
Yeah, we're getting $800 million at box offices. Yeah. Yeah. Were there any other like scenes that you found kind of interesting?
Okay. Well, Drake, his whole character, his whole vibe, I was just thought it was funny because he's just like the scientist, and you think he's very progressive, and turns out he's not. But I was like, oh my god. He's a terrorist. And they made the one brown guy a terrorist.
they turned a character that was originally white in the comics, made him brown, and then turned him into a terrorist.
It's a terrorist.
I see you, Hollywood. I see you.
Not cool. But,
yeah.
and even how he supported the little black girl. The black girl asking questions. He's like, no, you should ask questions. Always ask questions. And I was like, oh, you evil fuck.
The funniest part about that is like he's like, you should always ask questions. Anyways, I'm not gonna listen to what question you have. I gotta go. And he just dips. It's like, wait, what?
100%. Yeah.
Like I thought you were all about
I don't care what you're gonna ask. Please.
Yeah. It's like you should ask questions, but not to me. I'm too important for that. Way too important. Yeah, it's just so weird. I don't know what that company was, but they had like a paramilitary force for some reason. They're all shooting people and whatnot, and I don't know.
Who's the guy who owns Amazon?
Jeff Bezos, there is a video I saw on Twitter where somebody was like, Jeff Bezos, I'm a customer. And they're like, just like talking with him. And he's got someone like beside him. Like Jeff is like, thank you so much. Thank you. And he's just not listening. And there's a guy beside him who's just got his hands like right around his waist. He's like, oh, he got a thang on him. He's carrying that thang on him. I get that. If you're just a billionaire walking the streets, I guess. But like, why are you walking the streets if you're a billionaire? If I was a billionaire, you wouldn't see me. I'd be so recluse until like just helicoptering places. I'd be successioning it, you know, just wouldn't be walking around.
I love the verb.
Yeah.
I will say what I like. Again, I don't watch a lot of these comic book movies, but something that recurs is just the visual direction. So Annie, I loved every scene Annie was in because I was like, she is a comic book girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know, just how she talks, her hair, just, oh my God, you're practically drawn on screen. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That was interesting how they really didn't give much to her other than to be a reflectionary of like, Eddie's like, he has a heart though. You see, like sometimes late at night, he goes over to her house, which is like, okay, don't. You guys broke up. Calm down. And then also, she just
like,
kind of... You
want to tell her, like, early on, you can do better. Like,
yeah, it's like... Do you see his life after you left? Like, that apartment, what was going on? Like, self-saboteur. We can get more into that afterwards. But, like, very, very interesting kind of fellow of who he was or, you know, is. But, and at the end of the day, Venom saves the day. But the ROMs, let me tell you, the ROMs, you guys are gonna love the ROMs, and we talk about that coming up in the second half. Do They Deserve Love podcast. See you in a bit.
So what culinary delights will tickle the pickle tonight?
Potato tarts and chocolate.
Right, okay, no problem.
The payment's due, Chen.
Please, I can't keep doing this.
Now.
Bad guy, right?
Yep.
You come in here again. In fact, you go anywhere in this city preying on innocent people and we will find you and eat both your arms and then both of your legs and then we will eat your face right off your head. Do you understand?
Please.
Yes, so you will be this armless, legless, faceless thing, won't you? Rolling down the street like a turd in the wind. Do you feel me?
What the hell are you?
We are Venom.
What was that?
Oh, I have a parasite. Yeah. Name is Chen.
Parasite?
Yeah, it's a term of endearment. That's all.
Apologize!
No.
Apologize!
All right, fine. I'm sorry. So, what do you want to do now?
The way I see it, we can do whatever we want.
And we're back on Do They Deserve Love podcast. I'm Sarah Galley.
And I'm Al Shane Lewis.
Yeah, and so we're going to have the second half, and we want to talk more about the characters on Venom. Mm-hmm. Main character, Eddie Brock. I called him a schmuck earlier.
He's a little bit of a schmuck.
There's an imbalance in terms of like the love between him and Annie, which isn't necessarily the only love story in this tale. Mm. He is a journalist, kind of a cowboy type journalist. I don't know who to compare him to, other than maybe
I guess maybe Anderson Cooper to an extent that he goes into the field sometimes. Maybe like a Jeannie Mose.
Like a very bootleg John Oliver.
Yes. Just with less research and just crossing a lot of journalistic lines, because he does some foul shit in this movie.
Yeah. The love story begins very early on. We have early scenes between him and Annie, which again is almost just comic book trope, very perfect, very idyllic. She's head over heels over him, and he makes her lose her job.
Yeah.
Right? Not cool. Like he fucks her over. Are we allowed to cuss?
Yeah, it's ours. We can fucking cuss.
Okay. He totally fucks it over. Choosing his job basically over the love of his life, and then starts moping around. So you really don't root for him. I will say one of my favorite characters in the movie who is barely has screen time is the character Dora Skirth.
Jenny Slate, yeah.
My favorite. She didn't have to say anything. her presence made me happy.
Definitely seeing Jenny Slate in something, you get a little excited. You're like, oh, she's gonna say something funny, and then she does it, but you're like, I'm waiting for it any second.
A funny voice, maybe.
She was interesting in this movie. She was like one of the few scientists who could watch human trials and then have a conscience to go maybe we shouldn't be killing the homeless.
I was troubled by what we've been doing.
I get it.
I don't know what company just goes. Maybe there is. Maybe I'm just being very naive into believing that. But that was. And then also she ends up first off, her plan to bring in Eddie Brock to to scope out the Life Foundation and seeing what they were doing was ill thought out. I don't know why you just bring him through the front door of this company. There's cameras using your hand biometrics to bring people in. Yeah, you gotta sneak somebody in through the back door. You gotta do something, leave a key card, something. I don't know. For as afraid of you are of your boss, who ends up, spoiler alert, killing you, which also, how are you gonna kill her and dispose of the body? I don't know what the Life Foundation's plan was. They're too open. Even the scene where they were attacking Eddie, they were blowing up drones in the middle of the street of San Francisco, and I'm like, that's got to go back to somebody. You're blowing up tech that says Life Foundation on the top of it. All right, that's a cool plan. See if it works out. Bold strategy. Jenny Slate was cool in it. She was fun. I just want to talk about Eddie Brock for one second. Just that whole him blaming Carlton Drake for his entire kind of issues and his problems, but he backstabbed Annie. He went into her computer, read her emails, found confidential stuff. And then use that too. So that's
boldly confidential. So
it's not like you were, oh, what's this? And it was just there was multiple layers of trust that was broken. And I'm glad the movie called it out that because I was like, after he blamed Carlton Drake, I'm like, no, it's not Carlton Drake's fault. That's your fault. And the movie's like, nay, that's your fault. And I was like, okay, good. The movie at least doesn't let him off the hook with that.
Do anything to kind of hide the path between the emails and going to Drake. Like, he did a beeline. He read the emails, went to Drake, asked Drake, is he killing people? there was no, like, backdoor way he could get the information. Other backdoor way.
Yeah. Bad at his job. Just supremely bad at his job. Also, I forgot what Annie's job was. Did she work for the Life Foundation?
I think she's a lawyer. I think she was defending them. Or
okay, so she was defending
them. I don't know. Yeah.
Okay, yeah, because I don't know if the movie made it clear. Maybe they did. I just, that missed me. But so we have Annie and Eddie. So there is that kind of relationship. But now Annie also has a new beau called Dan Lewis, Dr. Dan Lewis, who's, I don't remember what that actor's name, but I always see him in like My Boys or one of those like sitcom shows. But he's delightful. He kind of looks like that guy from Superstore 2. They kind of fit the same kind of archetypal mold of a white guy with the brown hair. But he's an interesting character because he even gets expanded in the sequel. Ooh. And he's just like her new dude who's like not a bad guy, which I like it when movies don't just add that caveat of the new person being sucky, so the person has to go like running back and whatnot. He's like legitimately like, no, I'll help this guy who's clearly, you know, he's going through something and is also my girlfriend's ex. Which is like bold, like, you know. He's out there just like, no, this guy's coming in here eating a lobster in the middle of a tank at our nice fancy date. Yeah. So live. So shout out to him.
Yeah.
And and I guess the last character that of any worth is also the symbiote Venom himself, who's also to his quote, a loser as well as Eddie. And weird, I don't know, interesting tonal shift of like his relationship with Eddie. Like, it was this kind of, at first he was like eating his liver and he was lying about it. And then later on, he's like, nah, man, let's save this earth. And I'm your best friend now. And why did you change your plan? He's like, you changed it. And then like, that was the answer. So that was interesting.
Yeah. The symbiote, to a certain degree, you feel for him. Like he was tortured in a lab. It's a lot of trauma. It's a lot of trauma. Not just that, you are an alien. You're in a planet. You don't know anyone. You don't have any friends. You don't speak the language. It's a lot going on for this guy. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like, this is the pathway. I started not liking the symbiote, and eventually I started feeling for him.
Yeah.
Like, he's going through shit.
It's there is like a whole talk about the sequel. There's a whole like emancipation scene in the next one where he just like leaves Eddie and just like does his own thing for a bit, and it's like I could see the progression now going back and watching this movie, like, oh yeah the independence and what it means to be symbiotic and together and not a parasitic relationship, but you know, this, the I scratch your back, you scratch mine type of thing. So that was an interesting kind of thing. And seeing Tom Hardy, because Tom Hardy does the voice of the Venom symbiote, and he would have like him doing the lines in his ear and he responds back. So he did a great job just in general making you feel like there are two characters out there when it's literally just him listening to his own audio and then responding to it. So shout out to Tom Hardy for that. But let's talk about the ROMs. Let's talk about the kiss, kiss, kiss. Okay. I think it's the first kiss we should talk about. There's I don't know, maybe like two kisses. Yeah, I think it's two kisses. Just at the beginning, because Eddie and Annie are already in a relationship. So it starts off in a different area where he's with somebody else, and now, you know, very stable relationship, potential marriage, whatnot. Did you buy their relationship?
Again, I think I said this off the bat. It seemed uneven. Like, she has her shit together. He really doesn't. But again, maybe that's their own symbiotic relationship. You know, where they help each other out. Perhaps. Yeah. I mean, who am I to judge? Okay, I'm very simple.
Is this movie an allegory, or like, you know, a like regular relationships where you have to be symbiotic, or else one person's taking another person? Is this what this movie is asking the question that we should be asking ourselves?
I mean, partnership does demand a level of give and take. It doesn't have to go into codependency, but you know, gotta give and take.
Venom would disagree.
She seemed head over heels over him. You know what I mean? And I would say, like, probably believed in him, like, in his cause as a journalist. True. Of, like, telling the stories that the little guy needs to hear about, like, to protect themselves against corporations and things like that. Like, but again, this is a comic book movie. It's aimed at teenage boys, and the hot chick was really into the dude.
Yeah.
Like, overtly, really, really into him.
Just head over heels.
Head over heels.
Yeah. Like, you bought it? Yeah. They're making out in a well-lit dinner place. Yeah. Just making out, just like in the middle of the restaurant, just in the same side of the booth, just going at it.
Yeah.
And there's a third kiss. So the third kiss, which was an interesting kiss, and I don't know who was kissing who and what it was based on. It was after Venom loses the symbiote. He's about to get murdered by the Life Foundation goons, who could have just murdered him inside of the Life Foundation, which makes more sense, but they went outside for some reason. They go outside, and then he gets saved by Venom and Annie together. So those two are together. And the way that they transfer the symbiote is by Annie in the Venom outfit making out with Eddie and then passing it that way.
Ooh.
So who was kissing who? What was going on? Because I don't know, there was a part where she does talk about the kiss. She's like, "Ooh, that was a good kiss." Da, 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 da. But was it like also like the symbiote going like, do it," but like, you know, like what was happening there?
I don't know. I mean, again, I might skip ahead and talk about sequels here, because it's like, wouldn't it be funny if there was a sequel where it's kind of like this Wedding Crasher type sequel, who gets the girl, the symbiote, or Eddie? You know?
That'd be interesting to see. I would love to see just a weird love triangle, but not a triangle, because they're just passing back the symbiote back and forth. So maybe some type of poly kind of symbiosis relationship where they both can have it, like, you know?
Where they are a unit together.
Yeah, together. Yeah. We are Venom family, you know?
You don't know.
Yeah, I'm ready to go. Let's see what happens. Want a symbiote relationship with the partner?
Yeah.
But
I don't know who's kissing who, but I don't know. Probably, I would say in that scenario, probably symbiote is playing wingman.
Mm. So it's kind of just nudging. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Am I being inhumane? I keep calling him symbiote instead of by his name. Am I being a little...
Honestly, some comic book are going to be like, what the fuck, Brett? No, I don't know. but that's, I think that's it for the ROMs. There wasn't, you know, that much, but there was, I don't know, I guess trust.
I feel like it needs to be said, there is a love story between Eddie and Bennett.
Yeah, yes, that 100%. Yeah. There is a trust factor. Yeah. there is, you know, one that wants to be out there and explore, and Eddie wants to be kind of confined and not kind of take those risks and those chances, but together they work well together. When they worked well together, they can, you know, do great things like save the earth from millions of those little things. But to be honest, I want one of those guys. If those guys came here and took over my body, fixed my knee and my back and my shoulder in 1 second, I'll take it. Whatever we got to do to, you know, exist, and I can turn into 9 feet tall black creature, let's go. The NBA, let's do it. But yeah, there was. And do you think that Eddie and the Venom symbiote going forward, like, what do you think their path is? What do you think is going to go on? Do you think they're going to be stronger from all this? Do you think that, you know, did all this trauma bond them, or what do you see?
Oh my God, trauma bonds? Is that what it is? Yes,
they went through a lot. They almost both died, you know, several times, you know, save each other's life.
Venom found Eddie when he was at his lowest.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie found Venom when he was at his lowest. And they were just like saving each other. Oh my God. but they're making it work. I think the problem here is making Venom navigate human society, like not eating cats or children.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? I think that's a struggle. What if they have a fight one day and he loses it? You know? Like,
you know what I'm saying? Then you just have this thing.
Divorce brings the worst out of people. Right? What if they divorce and he starts like saying, she starts killing kids for the fun of it, just get a reaction.
I know. And you got to take the brunt of the, like, I housed this alien unit for this long, and this is why it's been rampant. So there's definitely accountability on his part. You know, you can't just take in an alien and just take it on its word that it's not going to kill humanity, or, you know, bring like a bio diseased upon this entire, you know, earth. But yeah, so like, let's see what would, you know, there is a sequel for this movie, but what would your sequel be? Would it be more of that, or would it be a little bit something different?
Again, I would enjoy a Wedding Crasher type scenario where they're just being bachelors and trying to break up Annie and her doctor boyfriend. Mm. Sequels. I'd like to see Venom. Yeah, maybe like in France one year.
Huh. Just out there. Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I think the next movie is more of a comedy, and I think I'll switch up the kind of genres maybe in a little bit. Maybe, you know, Venom and Eddie go around and they start, you know, counseling other couples on true symbiosis and what it means to be together, what it means to work together as a team. And we see them go and navigate different kind of avenues of that and seeing different people's relationships and how they react to all that. Let's see that. Yes. Movie, you know, this is the year of healing. And I think this movie would be great for that.
I'm into it.
Hollywood, are you listening? Are you even listening? But I think that's all my notes, everything that I got from here. Is there anything else you want to say about this movie?
No, that's about it. I think we can ask the question. I think
Oh, I do have one part here. I think I forgot. I forgot some comms. I said I generally laughed out loud when Venom called him a pussy.
So, yes.
I was like, because I was just like not expecting that.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
Cool. So yeah, so that is it for everything here. So this is the fastest one we've had, to be honest, but it's okay. That's fine. You know what? That's more digestible. That's what I say. But here's the question. Do they deserve love? And when I mean they, there's multiple theys. So Sarah, let me hear, you know, do they deserve love?
Eddie
deserves love. Okay. All right.
He wasn't even expecting it. Right? He was fighting for Annie. Turns out he has a level of self-love that can help a lost alien. He deserves it.
How about Annie and Eddie?
Annie and Eddie, she should kick him to the curb. He fucked her over. She could have been homeless because of him, you know?
It's true.
She's got bills to pay.
Fuck with her coin, you know. He's fucking with her coin.
He didn't lose his job. She lost her job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was he gonna take care of her? Was he gonna house her in his shitty apartment?
He could barely house himself.
Yeah. No. So no, I actually like that she stood up for herself. Mm-hmm. And you know, maybe they can talk, they can heal, but like, there so far has been no like just acknowledgement to what he did. So I'm not fucking with that. I will say the Korean store owner, I would like to see her have love.
Mrs. Chang, yeah.
Yeah. Or maybe she was Chinese. Chang is Chinese, I believe. But she was really cool to Eddie. Like, I think she was telling him to get therapy.
She's telling like to meditate and all that stuff.
Right. She told him to meditate. I think she has her shit together. I thought it was great that he stood up for her eventually, like after, later, not the first time we saw her get robbed.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not trying to get shot. It's only money. It comes back.
Which is fair. Which is probably what my reaction would be as well. But, you know, I'm not a big dude. I just remembered her and I was like, yes, you please have one. What about you? What do you think about Eddie and Annie?
Eddie and Annie, no. I wasn't buying it off the top, to be honest. They tried to play it up with like the little like, ooh, these little inside jokes that they have with each other. I'm like, they kind of seem like siblings, to be honest. Like, I don't see the romantic love. I see a very strong platonic love. I definitely see deep care for each other. Her just showing up to that like weird fight at the newspaper that he was at. Like, she snuck behind all the police lines to go to make sure he's okay. Like, there is definitely care about the other within the other, but I don't think they work well. And her and Dan, I think they should get going. You know, this guy's a doctor, got his shit together. He's super supportive. You know, he's not threatened by that. That's great. You know, so I think, you know, she should maybe push on to that area. Maybe they can all like, you know, have a four person yacht party and have a good time. I think that could be a fun thing that they can do, you know, reminisce about all the crazy shit they got up to in San Francisco.
Absolutely.
Eddie and the Venom symbiote. I don't think so. I don't think they should. I think
this is controversial.
Yeah, I think I don't know. It feels very opportunistic for either. I think they're both in maybe a very sore place where they kind of need each other. I think a lot of conversation needs to probably happen. I think it's potentially down the line, but through this movie, what I saw, I didn't get enough. And even back to Eddie and Annie, sorry, there was this part where he was apologizing for, he's like, I'm sorry for whatever I did. And he couldn't specify exactly, like, you went into her computer and stole her shit and almost got her fired. Like, you got her fired. Like, that, you should have said that.
Very specific. Yeah. Yes.
I forgot to say that line. But back to Eddie and the symbiote. Nah, not really feeling it. I could see them as good friends and whatnot, but there needs to be a lot of, they need to put all their cards on the table and, you know, be honest with each other, even though I'm pretty sure Venom can read all his thoughts. But I think Venom might be holding back a little bit more about, you know, his origin and whatnot and what he's got planned. Because, like, literally 20 minutes ago or 2 hours ago, whatever the movie length was, like, in the movie time, he was going to kill all of humanity. And then he stopped because a bigger one was going to do the same plan. And I don't know. And he wants to be not special because he wasn't special on his planet. So if they all come here, he's not going to be special. So now I need him to, you know what I'm saying? It felt kind of like transactional in a way. Okay. That's where I'm coming from on that. Okay. Maybe I'm just a hater too and I'm lonely. Maybe I just need my own Venom symbiote to heal this broken heart.
Perhaps. Yeah. That's what
I'll do. Yeah. But
I think I'm about that.
Yeah. But let us know if you think they deserve love in this movie. You can hit us up on Instagram at DTDL Podcast. Wow, I'm surprised I remember that. And our personal emails. You can hit me up at the Alan Shane on Twitter, Alan Shane on Instagram. And so you can hit Serrer up on
Gally Serrer, Qaly Serrer.
And as at IG and Twitter.
Yep, we're both same handle.
Yeah. And I forgot our Twitter is probably DTDL Podcast on Twitter too as well. Hit us up on there too. Let us know what movies you guys want us to check out. Because we're gonna do a whole bunch of these. You know, this is gonna be a lot of fun. This is the season three, I think, of this show. And let me tell you, the audio on this one's going to be way better than the last ones because we were struggling a little bit on those first couple episodes. But we got it. We got it now. We figured it out.
Yeah. Definitely.
But thank you so much for listening. I'd like to thank our sponsor, Coca-Cola, the one I was drinking right now. I'm joking. But thank you so much. I'm Alan Shane Lewis. Have yourself a good night.
Have a good night. I'm Serrer. Peace.
Bye.